Welcome to another episode of Living an Alter Life, and man, am I excited about this guest. I met this young lady at 6 Days in the Dome. I think it was either the day before or maybe the Saturday before she was setting up, and we're both, you know, doing that, man, are we nervous? Are we really signed up for this thing? And I was just so intrigued by her accent and found out she was a Kiwi. And then all of a sudden I started finding out that she's a really, really talented runner too. And so we have got Fiona Hayvice in the house all the way from New Zealand. Fiona, you ready to go for a little run?
Not quite ready to go for a run, but I'm happy to talk.
There you go. There you
still
go.
Still recovering from the 6 day. Yeah.
That was a race to end all races. That was your first 6 day, right?
It was my first 6 day. Yes. Hopefully the first of many. But Absolutely. Yes, it was my first.
You did so awesome. I was so proud of you and the way you just kept on plugging away out there. Just amazing. But we're going to get into all those details. So, Fiona, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do when you're not out rocking these amazing ultra marathons?
Yeah, okay. So, well, obviously running ultras takes up quite a considerable amount of my time. And I have sort of had this ultra life, like the name of your podcast, for the past sort of 10 or so years. But aside from that, I'm married and have one child, a 12-year-old boy. My husband and I have our own business. We sell retail Kiwi or New Zealand designed furniture and homeware and lighting, things for the home.
That's
so
cool.
We started that about 13 or 14 years ago, just
wow.
before Spike was born.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're still surviving. It's been up and down, but yeah, we're hanging in there, obviously through a pandemic, and now the cost of living crisis. Yes, things are a bit tight, but that's what we do to make a living. And
so do you export Kiwi furniture also, or just in
we
New Zealand?
We do send the odd bit overseas if people wish to purchase and get it shipped overseas, but we're not exporting, no,
okay.
At this stage. Yeah.
And is all of your furniture Kiwi made, or?
Pretty much. It's all designed by Kiwis, but there are some products that can't be made in New Zealand, the likes of a lot of the textile stuff, the rugs, and also some of the designers choose to have their product made offshore because we just don't have the manufacturing here in New Zealand, and there's lots of outfits and the likes of China that can flat pack things, produce products ready for shipping very efficiently and cost effectively. So yeah, but
so
a lot
I
of it is made
the,
here in New.
I imagine
Yeah,
a lot
sorry.
of the do you have supply chain problems there also?
It hasn't been too bad because actually the majority of our bigger furniture pieces, so the likes of sofas and dining tables, are made here in New Zealand. So even through the pandemic, we were one of the furniture stores that didn't have so many issues with supply chain because the craftsmen are based here in New Zealand, and we were able to still sort of turn around a sofa in sort of 5 to 6 weeks. So,
wow,
yeah, that was a real bonus. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Compared to businesses that were important, because obviously there were big issues, big delays with with imported furniture.
That is awesome. So now, did you start ultra running before Spike was born?
Yes, just before Spike was born, I suppose you'd say.
Okay.
The first ultra I ever did was in 2010. So Spike was born in 2012. So it was 2010. And it was kind of random. I've always run for sort of, I guess, mental and physical well-being throughout basically all my adult life since sort of high school. But I was just sort of running like 30 minutes a day, just for general well-being. And then in 2010, I received an email from an acquaintance who was based in Shanghai. I was another Kiwi, suggesting to people that they might be interested in doing a race through the Gobi Desert in China. At the time, I was just about to get married and I was working in travel, so had sort of access to reasonable airfares and things. And I love to travel, and I saw this as an opportunity to do just that. So I thought, why not? It was a stage race. So
Okay.
basically, it was over 6 days, I think it was, and we had to cover 250 kilometers in total. So the first few days were sort of like around the 30 or 40 kilometer mark. Not sure what that is in miles, but probably.
18, 18 to 20, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. And then there was one big day that was 100 Ks. And then the final day was down to just the last sort of 10 Ks.
So wait a second,
So,
did you convince your brand new husband to go to the Gobi Desert so you could run through the Gobi Desert on your honeymoon?
I did. I did. I did. Somehow I managed to convince him that it was a good idea. And because they also needed volunteers, sort of like support people. They weren't individually assigned to particular runners, but they needed extra hands, I guess, to help with. Every day there'd be the odd aid station, which would just supply water. Everything else we had to carry,
Okay.
so all our food and clothing and things for the 6 days. But these volunteers, including my brand new husband, would help set up the aid stations and assist with other bits and pieces going on. But it was
That's
pretty,
amazing.
it was just as intense for them as it was for us. I mean, the temperatures, we were, the final days, we were up over 50 degrees Celsius. So
Oh,
that
my goodness.
is in Fahrenheit. But yeah,
Hot.
so it was an experience.
That's
But
awesome.
the, I guess the good thing was that it didn't put me off. It actually really ignited my love for the ultra, for running ultras and the community and connections that I made
Okay.
through this ultra. And then that sort of led on to, led on to wanting more. And so I returned to New Zealand. So that was, that was the middle of 2010. And then early 2011, I signed up for the Tarawera Ultra Marathon, which has been going now in New Zealand for about 15 years, I think it is. They
Okay.
celebrated this year their 15th anniversary. So, but at that point in time, it was sort of, one of the only ultras around. We now have a lot of ultra races, but back then there weren't that many. So anyway, I decided to do that one and signed up for the 60K. So this is going to be my first 1 day ultra.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually ended up starting it with a friend who we hadn't run much together at all, but we were both keen to give it a go. So we started off and we had our partners crewing us, and they'd never, sort of crewed in an event like this before, but they seemed to have a good time and we were having a good time. And we got to the 60K mark and decided that we'd carry on, that we'd like to try and see if we could do a bit more. So it was a point to point, and if you reach the 60K point, you could continue on to where the 85K finish line was.
Wow.
So we did that. So we pushed on and finished off 85K that day.
That's
So
amazing.
yeah,
Wow.
so that was pretty cool.
That is very cool. Wow.
Yeah. And then it wasn't long after that that I fell pregnant with my now 12-year-old son. So I did actually take a break from all the running during my pregnancy. I unfortunately pulled my back, tweaked my back. And so I was, it was a recommendation from professionals not to keep running on it with
Right.
being pregnant and things. So I took up, well, I had already started, but I did a lot more of Bikram yoga. So
Okay.
that's the really hot one and pretty intense 90-minute sessions of hot yoga.
Wow.
And I was doing that about six times a week, and to sort of replace my running addiction. And so
Right.
had a yoga addiction for a few months there. And right up until the day Bike was born. And that wasn't on purpose. The fact was that I went had a yoga class in the morning, and then he decided to come 4 weeks early. So he
Oh my
was
gosh.
born prematurely, yes. So if I'd known he was coming, I possibly wouldn't have been doing a yoga class in the morning.
Nah,
But
I've met you, Fiona. You would have done the yoga class and just said, "It's no problem. I can handle
yes, squeeze it in.
this."
Yeah, possibly, probably actually. Anyway, once he was, I was obviously still keen to get back into the running once he was born, and that's what I did. So once he was 6 weeks old, I popped him in the buggy. I purchased a running buggy, you know, something that was going to be conducive to running lots of kilometers, and strapped him in and headed out to start to build up my running again. And you know, I had to start off pretty small. I was just doing 20 or 30 minutes, but as time went on, that built up, and we ended up running like at any opportunity, like everywhere I needed to go, we would, and the weather was okay. Well, even actually when the weather wasn't okay, because I'd brought all the, you know, the rain covers and the sun cover and all that
That's
to go with
awesome.
it. And so I would do go and do like the grocery shopping and visit friends, and yeah, just whatever needed to be done,
So you
we
just
would
pop
run.
him in the buggy and take off and go running.
Yes,
That's awesome.
And so it took probably about 12 months or so to build up my fitness again, and then feel like I was ready to have another go at running an ultra. So at the end of 2013 was when I ran my first ultra after Spike had been born, and that was a 60K race,
Okay.
trail race, and I finished it in under 6 hours and
Wow, a
came
60K.
second.
That's awesome.
So I was pretty pleased because I wasn't sure how that was going to go, obviously, after coming off the back of having a child and having to start from scratch again, really, with the running side of things. But it went very well. And yeah, that sort of led into the next phase of my ultra running life, I suppose.
Yeah, because I mean, the next phase is where all of a sudden Fiona got really good at ultra running.
Yes.
Like, really good. So, because I won't spoil it, but you're really good. I've been reading articles about you, and I'm like, Fiona didn't say anything about this during 6 days. You're a really good runner. Like, tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you have qualified for and run, because you're good. The secret is out now.
It's, yeah. So yeah, so it's sort of it's yes, from there I went back to Tarawera that, you know, in the February following that 60K race, and I think I finished in like the top sort of 10 in that year. But
Okay.
I did realize that I was finishing it, you know, sort of at the pointy end. So I just keep persevering and keep training. I didn't have a coach at that stage, and I was just training how I thought I should, well, you know, doing what I thought I should be doing. I was probably, you know, looking back, doing too many miles and at just a sort of a cruisy pace, not doing anything targeted. Like I wasn't wasn't how I should have been training.
Okay.
But I was doing okay, you know. I realized that if I perhaps did get a coach and be more specific with my training, that I could do even better. I went on to the following year at Tarawera to come fourth on the podium on my first 100K,
Right.
and it was And it was after that that I decided to enlist a coach. That was Scotty Hawker, who's another very accomplished New Zealand ultra runner, and started doing some proper training sessions and intervals and hill repeats and things. And then the following year, I won tap the Tarawera 100K.
That's
And so
awesome.
that was my first sort of big win. I think I may have won the 50K a few months prior, but anyway, that 100, it was the Tarawera 100K in 2016 that sort of opened the doors to the next really 3 years of predominantly trail running,
Right.
trail ultras. And at that point in time, there was a circuit called the Ultra Trail World Tour.
Right.
It's now sort of disbanded after just post-COVID, and it's been replaced, I guess, by the UTMB World Series.
Okay.
Anyway, at the
And isn't
time,
Tarawera part of UTMB now?
yes, Tarawera was part of the UTWT, and
Okay.
also the likes of Ultra Trail Australia, Western States. UTMB was part of it.
Okay.
Lavaredo, lots of the big names worldwide. And so what I discovered, I didn't know much about it. Like, I was pretty naive that it was even a thing that this circuit even existed. And then I received an invite, because I'd won Tarawera, an invite to go to Austria that a few months later and
Okay.
represent the UTWT at the Mozart 100.
Wow.
So I went over there, and yes, and had a pretty good race.
I would say so.
Coming,
You podiumed.
yeah, I came first.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a struggle to finish, actually, because I flew in, like, it's about at least 24 hours worth of travel to get over to Europe from New
Wow.
Zealand. And I flew in on something like the Wednesday and raced on the Friday. And
Oh my goodness.
about 70 Ks into the race, my left hip was not very happy with me.
I can
So,
imagine, yeah.
but I pushed through and managed to hold on to third somehow. So
And
that
is
was two,
that where you got your Western States qualifier, or where did you get your Western States qualifier?
I'm just trying to remember. I think it was from perhaps the following Tarawera. I'm not 100% sure
Okay.
on the details, but it was the following year that I had a guaranteed spot for Western States. And again, that was through UTWT as a supported athlete for them to go to Western States. So that was huge, like, that opportunity. I
Yeah.
hadn't ever run 100 miles at that stage, so
Okay. So this is
Western
your
States.
first 100 miler as Western States.
Yes, my
And you
first
did
100 miler.
okay.
I did okay that
Yeah,
first
you did
year.
okay. Finished 5th. Sub 24 was, it was somewhere around 20 hours, if I remember right.
Yes, it
That's
was. I think it was
awesome.
2051 or something along those lines. I already know. I've been looking it up because I was watching Western States at the weekend,
Yes,
obviously,
yes.
and reminiscing a little bit about all that. Yes, so that then meant I could go back the following year, because the top 10 get a guaranteed spot for the following year. So yes, I've had the privilege of being able to go to Western States twice, which
That's amazing.
not many people get to do. So yeah,
Yeah.
pretty special.
And now, what year was it that all of a sudden you started kind of rocking the 24 hours and 48 hour
Yes.
stuff?
Yes. So it was the end of 2018 that I did my first 24-hour
Okay.
on the track. I was on a track in
And was that in
Taipei.
Taipei? Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Asia Oceania Champs, which were held in December of 2018. And a New Zealand team was being pulled together, and a good friend of mine, who's a good friend now, Wayne Botha, was trying to drum up runners for that. And to start off with, I was not that keen. I was like, why would you want to go run around a track for 24
After
hours?
all the trails, and all of a sudden now
All
you're
the
going around
tracks
a track for
and the
24 hours.
beautiful mountains and lakes and things I'd run around. But again, it was a it was a new challenge. He was very encouraging and could, thought that I had potential. And I got to travel somewhere I hadn't been before. At that stage, I'd never been to Taiwan. In the end, he managed to convince me that I should put my name forward, which is what I did, and I got chosen to run for New Zealand at those champ at that championship. I had a pretty good race. I tipped just over 200K, so I
That's
was pleased.
amazing.
I was very pleased for my first attempt.
Yeah. And you finished fourth
Yes,
overall.
I
Or
did.
fourth woman, right? Fourth woman
You've done
somewhere
your
in the top 20
homework.
overall, right? Yeah, I have. I told you, I've been reading about you, and I'm just like, this gal is amazing, man. She'd say any of this. I'm just going to tell you, I spent 6 days going around the track with Fiona, and she didn't tell me any of this. I find out all of this afterwards, and I'm like, I probably would have been bowing to you or something, I'm around running royalty here, so.
No. I don't know, I've always got a new goal in mind, and I sort of just move on, and unless you take the time to go back and look at all these results and reflect it, you sort of, I don't know, you sort of forget about it a little bit.
Yeah, you've done amazing. I'm just really impressed with all the things you've done and how well you've done. And
Oh,
it just
thanks.
continues on. So now, what year was it that you decided I'm going to throw my hat in this big dog's backyard thing?
My first backyard ultra was COVID timed, actually. It was the first world team champs that they had. So
Oh,
end
so like
of
2020.
2020.
Okay.
So backyard at that stage was very, well, for New Zealand was very new. I think at that time we only had one backyard ultra in New Zealand. We've now probably got about 10
Wow.
events. And so not many people had actually run a backyard, including myself. And so the team was put together based on results from other races. So you
Okay.
had to submit your sort of running CV. And I was chosen for the team. And that was my first one. And I had a pretty solid hit out. I think I was about the third to last person standing. And I
Okay.
did 32 laps.
Wow. Okay, so you got over
So
200 kilometers there too.
yes,
Okay.
so I
Wow.
was pretty
That's fantastic.
pleased with that, and I've gone on to run about 7 or 8 backyards, I think.
Okay.
I'm still losing count. And my best has been at the next World Champs, Team World Champs, which was held in October 22,
Okay.
and I ran 37 laps.
Wow,
So
37.
that's
That's awesome.
That's been my highest so far.
Okay.
Yes, and we've got, obviously got the next World Champs are coming up. Team World Champs are coming up this October, and I'm currently not in the team because now it's got become a lot more competitive to get into the team, and it's all based on backyard only backyard results. So there's a running sort of tally of people and their results, and through a 2 year period, there's a specific qualifying period, and at the moment I'm sitting, there's 15 people in the team, and
Okay.
I'm sitting at number 18 or something like that. So
Okay. And did you get that at Pigs this year, right?
no, that result is actually back from 22, my best
Okay.
result, my 37. So now at the moment, the New Zealand minimum in order to be on the team is about 41 laps.
Okay.
I'm pretty close, but haven't been there quite yet.
41 yards to be one of the 15 on the team.
That's right. Yes.
Wow, New Zealand has gotten really good at this backyard thing, haven't they?
We have got good, and we've actually, I mean, we've got one of the best in the world in our team, Sam Harvey, who's his best at the moment is 101 laps. So,
And that was the year with Harvey Lewis, right?
it was, yes, over at Dead Cow Gully last June. I was at that event actually. So that was very exciting when
Wow.
Phil Gore and Sam Harvey went over the world record.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Harvey Lewis was there at that event too. He did,
Yeah,
yeah.
he was third, believe it or not. Yeah,
He was.
because Dan
Yeah.
Harvey and Phil Gore just kept going. That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was
Yeah,
crazy.
it was
Wow.
exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so awesome. So now, how did you end up at 6 days in the dome? Because you've
Yes.
done 24, have you, and you've done 48, right?
Yeah, I've done
Because didn't you
48 a
do the
couple of
48 World
times.
Championships too?
No, I've done the first 48 I did was in Sydney. I went to the Southern Sydney Ultra, was in the middle of 22, I think it was, June
Okay.
22. And that's I've done it twice. Oh yeah, 48 hours twice, and that's been my better result, my first one. I did 303 kilometers
Wow.
at my first attempt. I
That's awesome.
then ran, again, I was very pleased, to get
And
over
that
300
put you
and
third overall and first woman, right?
that's right. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. And then I was invited to go actually to Taipei in February, just gone, February this year,
Okay.
at the Taipei 48 hour, to the, Taipei 48 hour. And so I went over to that and was having a good race, was on target at 40 hours. I was on target to perhaps just tip over my PB. It wasn't going to be far over, but I believe that I could stretch it over my PB. And then quite suddenly I felt a very sharp pain in my left knee or above my left
Oh.
knee. And was, basically after trying to dampen the pain, nothing was working. So I went to the medical tent to be assessed. I was basically down to a hobble and I was recommended to stop.
Oh, wow.
So unfortunately, I stopped at around 42 hours. And it turns out I had a bit of a tear in my quad muscle. So it was probably, it was sensible that I stopped because by that stage I'd already signed up for the 6 day and 6 days in the dome. And so I had that on the horizon. And prior to that, I also had a 100 mile race here in my home city, Wellington. It was a brand new race that just started in April this year
Is
called the
that the one
Fault
you were
Line
telling
Ultra.
me about? Was it called Fault Line or something like
Yeah,
that?
Fault Line Ultra.
Okay.
Fault Line Ultras,
Where
yes.
did Fault
And
Line, it like are you on a fault line of an earthquake zone or?
we are the whole of New
Okay.
Zealand is pretty much on a fault line,
Okay.
and particularly where we live, Wellington, there's a big fault line runs through it. So yes, hence Fault Line Ultra.
So you got ready for 6 days in the dome by running Fault Line Ultra 100 miler.
Yes.
You're
Pretty
so
much.
crazy. And you
But
finished
the good
that
news,
in like 25 hours or something like that?
it definitely wasn't my fastest miler, but the thing that I was pleased about was that I ran happy for the day
Awesome.
and didn't have any niggles with my quad, with my
Awesome.
left knee or anything. So it
Okay.
left me feeling confident going into the 6 day that my body had recovered from the issues that it had had in Taipei, so that was good.
That's
Yeah.
awesome. So we get to 6
Yes.
days and the
6
horn goes
days.
off and you and Megan take off and I thought, well, I'm going to be getting passed by these two forever. So and you guys, you and Eric and who's the other? Oh, and David Johnston and Tatsuri were all just
Yes.
so steady that first day. And I was just like, wow, these guys are going to do like 9 million miles or something like that. And you had a great first day, didn't you?
I did have a great first day. I felt really good. I didn't feel like I was pushing at all. Obviously I was going to get tired and things were going to drop off a bit, but I felt like I could sustain what I was doing. And I think I reached 100 miles in the first sort of 24 hours.
Right.
So it was a good base to start off. But then felt like almost out of the blue, all of a sudden, I had excruciating pain down the front of my left shin.
Wow.
To the point that I was reduced to a walk basically for the rest of the event.
Yeah, and the second day, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. We tried all sorts of tactics with the people that were helping me out. I was very lucky to have two semi-local runners help me out. Larry Stevens, who'd actually run the 24 hour, just
Yep.
like 48 hours earlier.
And set
He
the new six over 60 age group record, right?
Yes,
Yep.
he did. He did.
And then
So
he
I had.
stayed out there and helped you through the night. I was
Yes.
amazed at Larry. I was just like, this guy has a lot of stamina, because every
I
time
know.
I'd go by your table, he was there and,
He's
had
still
his nip
there.
pad out. And yeah, it was amazing.
Exactly. I know. I was very lucky to have his knowledge and caring help.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We both managed to keep each other awake most of the night,
Yep.
mostly through the nights. We took some sleep breaks, and he would have a quick sleep while I was sleeping as well, which we managed to make it work.
Right, because the first day you took all, first 2 days, you took all of your sleep breaks downstairs, right?
No, I didn't do any sleep breaks downstairs actually until the very
Okay.
last day. I had maybe a 5 or 10 minute nap in a
Okay.
reclining chair, but no, Megan was she was taking some breaks downstairs,
Right.
but I was upstairs. I feel the cold, and I just felt like if I was in that refrigerator while I was
Yeah, that was
sleeping,
cold.
that wasn't going to work very well for me. So I used the warmer sleeping room upstairs. yeah
Okay, cool.
yeah
So, second day you came down, and is that when the niggle started in your leg?
Yeah, sometime at the end of that first day, I can't remember exact timing. I have to look back at my notes, but yeah, it was definitely in the earlier part of the second day. So yeah, we tried all sorts of things, K tape, lots of different topical anti-inflammatories, painkillers, a calf sleeve went on at one point. And these things all helped a little bit. Obviously, they helped because I was able to keep going out, keep getting back out there. But I never was able to get back into a run, unfortunately, which
Right.
significantly reduced the amount of distance that I covered. But
You
yeah, but I
battled
still
and
stayed
just
out there.
kept battling. And that was,
Yeah.
so that earned you a great nickname, right?
It did. Yes.
So what
I
is your
think
new nickname now?
Warrior Princess.
There you go. And it's fitting, isn't it?
It is. Thank you, Mike.
You're
Thank you very
welcome.
much. I feel,
Yeah.
very humbled to receive that nickname from you. Thank you.
It was just so encouraging to watch you just keep on getting back up and going out there and battling. And I know you went through some incredible lows around day five, but man, you got back up and you finished, you moved the whole 144 hours.
I did. Thank you. Yes, I did. I did keep
Yeah.
pushing through. And I think, a lot of that was, I mean, there's lots of factors, but a big factor was the likes of yourself and all the other runners, the camaraderie and the encouragement that you get from each other, the positive energy that comes from talking with the other runners was, it was just next level out there. So I'd like to, thank everyone that shared the experience, because I think we all, we all bounced off each other, and we all helped push each other through.
True. It's true. I don't think anybody could have completed that going in and being a Lone Ranger. I think
No.
it took a village to get everybody
Yeah.
through the 6 days. And it was so encouraging how everybody would just find the person who was struggling, and they would take the time to just, encourage that person and do whatever they could to, what can I do to help you keep moving? And it was just, I love that atmosphere, and it was just an incredible atmosphere. It was an honor to be a
Exactly.
part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
So
Looking
cool.
forward to
So
the next one.
I was gonna say, so you're already plotting, aren't you?
I am. I haven't worked out, when and where yet, because living in New Zealand, it's actually quite hard to get to these 6 day events. The closest one for me is in Australia. That's in October annually, but Otherwise, I need to go to the States or to
Yep.
Europe. You know, it's yeah, they're sort of few and far between. So it takes a bit of planning.
Yeah, it
So
does.
yeah, not sure
Even being
exactly.
here in the States, it takes a bit of planning. And
Right.
I'm finding out there's like this whole little secret world of 6-day events. Who knew?
Yes, I know. I learned about ones that I didn't even know existed actually from
Yeah.
from the other runners. Yeah. So
Dong
that was pretty
Lin,
cool.
told me about one that's up in New Jersey, and I was like, seriously? And he's like, and it's a rubber track. He said, I know
Right.
it's outside, he said, but it's a rubber track. It's nowhere near as hard as the dome. And I
As
was like,
the concrete in
yeah,
the
that concrete,
dome.
that was
It did have
some
its
kind of fun.
benefits. Definitely had its benefits though, being inside. Even though it was a little on the cool side, it was just so sort of not easy, but you know, just not having to deal with the elements,
Right.
and yeah, be in that enclosed space, did make things
And it was fun.
didn't
You got
yeah.
to see your first hockey game, right?
Yes,
There you
some
go.
hockey
See?
games and some figure skaters
Right?
and
The speed
some
skaters,
young
they were amazing,
and
wasn't?
yes, some young, very young children
Yeah.
already training up for the Olympics. Like, yeah, there
Did
was a
you
lot
ever
going on
pass
some
the
days.
kids when they were doing their training and go, I had energy like that one day? By the fifth day, I was like, did I like just like put a suction cup on one of them and just suck out their energy? So,
I know. I know. Felt like that. Yeah,
that was
definitely.
awesome. It was so much fun. So what's next for Fiona? This leg taken care of, right?
Yes. So I'm just recovering from this shin splint. That.
No tears and no breaks, correct?
Yes. Yeah. No, that's right. Yes. So I was going to say I had the results yesterday. I had an X-ray done on it, and there are no issues with the bone, which I was thrilled about because that would have meant about a 12-week minimum recovery period. But
Oh.
now, thankfully, I'm looking at more of a few weeks. So,
Good.
yeah. So working on recovery at the moment, and then I'm hoping that all going well with this recovery, that I will go and do the Clint Eastwood backyard, which is over in
Okay.
Brisbane,
Oh,
in
cool.
August.
Well, that sounds
Yeah,
fun.
it's.
Is this Clint Eastwood going to be there?
That would be pretty awesome. I must find out why they called it the Clint Eastwood backyard. I'm not 100% sure actually.
Well, when you're doing the
But
backyard, just yell out left turn Clyde and see if anybody gets
it's
the reference to a Clint Eastwood movie.
anyway, it's the last weekend in the qualifying period to try and get back onto the New Zealand team.
Right, so we got to
So
hope for 41 yards or better.
yes.
All right.
Yes. 41
Well, you
plus
know how to stay
is
awake for a long time now.
I do now, yes. And I also know how to push through pain a lot more than
Yes.
what
Yeah.
I had in the past. It was definitely my hardest fought finish line. So
Yeah.
I've realized that I can, you know, cope with a lot more suffering than I thought I could. So
Was going to
there'll be
say,
good
so
things
this had to
to
show you
have.
that you're capable of a lot more than you might have thought you were capable of.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what is strategy at the backyard? Is it 50 to 54 minute laps? Is it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely keeping it well. Yeah, sort of more around the 50 mark would be really
Okay.
good. Just keep it consistent. And
Fuel and hydrate during the backyard.
I use Tailwind Nutrition as the base for all my races. Anything around the 100K mark, I just use Tailwind solely. It's the only product I use. But
Okay.
then once I get into these multi-day distances, I've been integrating real food as well, because I just find once you're out there for more than a day, it's better on the stomach and yeah, and the energy levels and things to
You're
have some
really
real
disciplined with
food.
what you put in your body. Says I noticed you don't do like any processed type of things.
I do when I'm racing. Like I don't
Okay.
worry so much when I'm racing. Like I really enjoyed the donuts at 6 days in that
They
time.
were a treat every morning, weren't they?
They were.
Shout
So
out to Barney Riesbeck for buying the donuts every day.
yeah, they were delicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but day to day I eat a plant-based diet, and yeah, it's pretty whole food on the whole food side. Like yeah,
Okay.
minimal processed food, but racing, I'm not so fussy. just whatever.
Wherever you can get calories, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then how do you take care of your body during a backyard? I mean, like, do you use a gun or any of that type of
Yeah,
stuff, or?
I do have a massage gun now, which I think is useful, and just a bit of hands-on massage, legs up, the reclining chair where you get your feet elevated. I, if possible, have the proper big earmuffs over my ears, so it just blocks out the most majority of the noise that's going on, so I
Okay.
can close my eyes.
Cool.
Even during the day, like I try and get my feet up and my eyes closed
Okay.
as mu
Does that
much
kind
as
of give you a
possible.
mental break?
Just totally. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is, I like
Yeah.
hearing people's strategies for the backyards, especially when you're going after big yards. You've got to have that strategy down. Now, who will be your crew person?
I have got a lovely lady who helped me at the Dead Cow Gully back in June last year, and she lives in the area, and is thankfully available, Amy Talbot. And yeah, I'm really thankful to her for being able to help me out again. So need to get in touch with her actually and start planning that now that I'm back from the 6 day.
There you
But
go.
yeah.
There you
Yeah.
go. Fully recovered and ready to roll. I love hearing the future look and the fire in your voice.
I love to run, I'd run even if I didn't have a goal, a race or something coming up, but it's even more motivating when you've got something else in the calendar. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell people,
Yeah.
running's supposed to be fun. And
It is. Yeah.
when we make running fun, we race better.
That's right. Totally.
When we make it, work and a job, and oh my God, I got to hit this mark, then it just
Yeah.
becomes less fun, and why do it? So, for
That's
me, the
right.
struggle is always keeping the running fun and knowing that, I'm a, slow back of the pack dude. I'm never going to hit the podium. So I always sit there and go, I'm supposed to be having fun when I'm doing this and challenging myself to how far can I go? So it's always fun.
Yes.
That is awesome. Well, let's wrap this up. So, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. What's the first thing that kind of pops in your head when you hear that?
Oh, that's a tricky question.
I got, you know.
Well, I think it's about making the most of every day and the opportunities that come your way and living your ultra life.
It's awesome. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us. This has been just an absolute delight. And remind us again, what month is the backyard?
9th of August is the Brisbane, the Clint
Okay.
Eastwood one. And
August 9th.
then, yeah, and then all going well, October is the team world champs. So
All right. All right. I got
see
my
what
fingers
happens in
crossed. I'm going
August.
to be knocking on wood a lot, and I'll be cheering for you on August 9th.
Thank you so much, Mike. That's
You got it.
awesome.
All right. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.